All right, can you hear me? There we go. Make sure I get things headed in the right direction. Sometimes I have a tendency to get things on upside down. It doesn't work very good. I didn't have anything for the bulletin this week. I was doing my dailies on Saturday morning, and I guess yesterday morning. And so Lexi, because of, as a gift, because I was able to marry them, she got me a book from Billy Graham on Hope for Each Day. It's actually a morning and evening devotion for each day of the year. And in that there was the one for yesterday was Proverbs 10:29. It says, "The way of the Lord is strength for the upright." As Doug knows, and many of you know, a lot of things that we do, we can't do on our own strength. We have to rely on the Lord's strength. And so I started looking through the Word of God, and I found just a lot of examples of where we get strength from the Lord, and we're going to go look at the children of Israel and Moses. We're going to look at David a little bit today. Where through trying times, through times that were hard, they got their strength from the Lord, because we can't do it on our own, guys. There's just many days that we have that we can't do what we're set out to do without help from the Lord. So let's go to the Lord and we'll get started. Father, I thank you that you provide strength for us when we're weak, Lord. That you make a way every day for us. Sometimes where it doesn't look like there's a way at all, you make a way. And I thank you for that. Father, as we look at your word today, as we share together today, Lord, give me the words to say that I'll not get in your way at all, Lord, but speak through me and speak to the church today. Lord, give us ears to hear what you're saying to the church, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Billy Graham goes on to say in this little devotional, "Because God is the giver and source of life, He has a legitimate claim upon our lives. He is our Heavenly Father, and He has the right to expect us to be His loyal and loving children. Because I am His child," he says, "He also longs to have fellowship with me." So God is looking for fellowship with us. He wants to have a daily relationship with us and an interaction with us where when we need help, we know we can ask for it. We can trust Him to bring it our way, to give us help. The first place He took me was back to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus 15, and we're going to begin. I'm going to look at 1 and 2, and then we're going to go on down to the farther into the end of the chapter there. Exodus 15, 1 and 2. This is, you know what? Let's back up into Exodus 14. We got to go there to get the gist of what's going on. So they're ready to cross the Red Sea. That you know all about the plagues, how the children of Israel were ready to get out of Egypt and ready to get out of bondage, and the Lord was leading them out with Moses, and they had done the final plague where they lost the firstborn. And so finally Pharaoh said, "You can go. You get take your people and get out of here. I'm tired of the plagues." And so they came up to the Red Sea, and there's no place to go. There's water in front of them. The Pharaoh's army's behind them. And it says here in the Word that they are terrified. Have you ever come to a place where you are terrified, scared to death, maybe? And what are we going to do with this situation? Sometimes we have those situations where we don't know what we're going to do. Let's begin reading here in verse 10 of chapter 14. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt?" And as I was reading here, I thought, you know, they just came through the plagues and saw all that the Lord did for them through all the plagues, and still they didn't trust him. And I thought, well, I've done that myself many times. I've forgotten what God has done for me and come to another crisis and began to cry instead of trusting the Lord. It says, "What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, well, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." So that's the first thing that I want you to pay attention to today, that something, when you come up something to something that you need God's help with, learn to stand still, to be still. We have a tendency to want to worry and fret and try to figure it out on our own, but when you're seeking the Lord, remember to stand still, to just be still and wait for him. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side. So neither went near the other all night long. So they were waiting through the night, with the army behind them, the sea in front of them. They were waiting for God to open up the sea. They knew they could trust God because they had just come through a terrible ordeal with the plagues. And so they knew they could trust God. But he's telling them here to just pay attention and wait. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. Every time I thought about, as a kid, you know, you hear this story, and I thought about, well, he just dried it up and opened it up, and they walked through. Well, it took all night for him blowing with the wind to dry up the sea so that they could walk through on dry ground on the bottom. It wasn't something that just happened instantly like I thought it did. But it's something that God took his time to do. And so says the waters were divided. The Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. So they had just a high wall of water on each side of them. They had enough room to make a passage through the sea. I don't know how deep the Red Sea is, but I'm sure these walls of water were probably a lot of places higher than the building here. Because I have a feeling the Red Sea is pretty deep some places. But God made a way there. So the Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea, During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptians' army and threw it into confusion. He made the wheels of their chariots come off so that they had difficulty driving. The Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak, the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. So then you go down into chapter 15, and we see the song that Moses and Miriam sang. It begins by saying, "I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him." And then over toward the end of 15 here in verses, I want to look at 11 and, 11 through 13. It says, "Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them into your holy dwelling." So there again is a verse that talks about the Lord's strength and how he takes care of us. I want to look at David now a little bit. And for that, we're going to go to 2 Samuel. David's Psalms, you know, you all know the Psalms are mostly Psalms of David, and this is a lot of the praise that he gave for the things that God did for him. But here in 2 Samuel 22 is also a song that David wrote to the Lord in praise for what he had done. 2 Samuel 22. We're going to look at starting at verse 21. And following. So the second thing that I want you to notice is that when someone here in the Word of, when the Israelites and David both, when God pulled them through a situation that was hard for them, they praised him. They spent some time in worship. And so that's the number two thing that I want you to pay attention to today. So beginning in verse 21. "The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, he has rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not done evil by turning from my God. All his laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees. I have been blameless before him and have kept myself from sin. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his sight." And as I was reading these verses this weekend, I thought, well, that's a lot like we heard 2 weeks ago when we were talking about Job. He was also a man of uprightness. He was an upright man who knew he was doing what God wanted him to do. So he wasn't afraid to challenge the Lord and to praise his name when he blessed him. And then he goes on in 26, he says, "To the faithful you show yourself faithful. To the blameless you show yourself blameless. To the pure you show yourself pure. But to the crooked you show yourself shrewd. You save the humble, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them low." It says, "You are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall." As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in Him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory. You stoop down to make me great. You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn. That's pretty cool that the Lord makes a way. He broadens the path. He smooths out the lumps. He makes it so we can walk through easily and makes a way for us. And so I wanted to share some of David and the Israelites to show you how God takes care and strengthens His people and strengthens the upright. Now I wanted to go back to Psalms 28. There are just a few verses in Psalms 28 here that I wanted to look at. And this is another Psalm of David, as you know. Verses 6 through 9. Excuse me. It says, "Praise be to the Lord, for He has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to Him in song. The Lord is the strength of His people, a fortress of salvation for His anointed one. Save your people and bless your inheritance, for their shepherd, or be their shepherd, and carry them forever." So the reason I wanted to share these verses is because at the end of our times like that we have where God carries us through, we need to have a time of thanksgiving, a time of gratitude to Him, just to share some time with the Father and thanksgiving and gratitude for what He has done for us. And in 2 Corinthians, there's a couple verses there in 2 Corinthians 12, so let's turn back there and we'll just a couple out of the New Testament that I want to finish up with today. And by the way, Julie, I am trying to learn how to use these little markers. They have helped me quite a bit as I was preparing to get ready for today. So I'm able to turn to things a little quicker. So 1 Corinthians 12, 7-10 says, "To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me." So this is Paul talking about his thorn, the thing that God had given him to humble him. It says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" So when our weakness comes, God's strength comes into us. He strengthens us from a power from on high. It says, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why for Christ's sake I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." I could just tell you that I don't delight in those things like Paul did. I haven't come to that place yet where I delight in insults and hardship and persecution and difficulties. But I am thankful that I can take them to the Lord and that in my time of weakness, He will strengthen me. And then over in Ephesians chapter 3, 16-21. And this is a prayer for the Ephesians, and it's just a prayer that I want to pray for the church today because it's something that fits in with what we're talking about today. But I'm going to begin there in verse 16 down through 21, Ephesians 3. It says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith and in prayer, that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Just last week, Matt told us a lot about God's love for us, about his wonderful love for us. And here again, we're talking about how high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So, we get our strength from the Lord. When I am weak, then I am strong. We can say that, as Paul did, because we know that he helps us through these hard situations. As Doug was saying, he knows that he can't do that without God's strength. Many of you have those same kind of difficulties. And when you come up against them, remember to go to the Lord. Remember to go to the Father, because he'll strengthen you. With every task that he has for us, he gives us the means to do it. He gives us the tools to do it with. So just allow him to be your strength for this week. And enjoy your week. If any of you have prayer needs this morning, why, I'm going to ask that you come so we can pray with you. There's quite a few prayers in the bulletin this week. Remember to lift them up daily this week. We spent a lot of time in prayer in Sunday school this morning because there's just a lot of needs. There's a lot of things happened this week that needed God's attention, and so we want to take time to pray for them every day, to lift them up. But we're just for personal needs, personal things today, if you have a need, why, Jesse and Matt and I will be here to pray with you.